This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. For more than 20 years, helping people look forward to their retirement years with confidence. And if you get a chance to rate our podcast on your provider, we'd appreciate you taking the time to do that. And now, today's Invest Talk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. I appreciate you being with me. It is the last day of February, the 28th of the month, 2017. And of course, Invest Talk is always talking about the average investor and how to improve, how to become above average. And of course, I always want to help expand your knowledge base. That's how you do it, to become better, understanding what you're doing and how everything works. And it is very difficult because understanding is, you know, things change. It's changing all the time. And you have to kind of keep up with what's changing. And you do become very aware of how the changes affect investments after a while. It takes time. Now, we discuss weekly the complexity of managing an investment portfolio and, of course, the risks involved. And one of the biggest aspects of successful managing risks is, of course, to diversify. You know, diversify your portfolio, the whole interest you have, and across industries and sectors. The same can be said for someone's entire asset base. I'm talking about house, rental properties, bonds, you know, all the assets that you buy. Many people get enamored with just one asset class based on recent performances. We call this recency, by the way. And what's hot? What's really hot right now? This clearly happened in the late 90s when the tech bubble and tech boom happened. Everybody loved tech. Those portfolios from 1999, 98, 2000, those portfolios hung around for years and years and years, way after the tech wasn't working anymore, because everybody was thinking they were going to come back. Now, it doesn't mean tech is not good, but this was a time where everybody loaded their portfolio with nothing but tech. That's not a smart thing to do. This is not something new. Every so often, things get hot, and then they cool off. Precious metals is one of the asset classes everybody falls in love with when it's hot. So, when you think about investing your wealth over various asset classes, consider a number of factors. One, do you have the expertise in that asset class? Number two, investing in stocks and bonds without strong knowledge of the financial markets or without an experienced investment advisor is very risky. Just like investing in real estate without real estate experience. It's risky. And secondly, the level of risk you're willing to take must be reasonable. Don't be unreasonable on the amount of risk. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Where do you think that saying came from? Don't put all your eggs in one basket. You'll break them all. Don't buy all the same things. And while bond prices have potential to move much more dramatically to the downside right now, because of interest rates, and they'll probably move up, they are less volatile. Bonds are much less volatile than stocks. Real estate is slightly more risky than bonds, but they're very illiquid. They're still very safe. Real estate is very safe, but it's very illiquid. So, of course, the most risk is stocks, and they're very liquid. But you also have the most return over any length of time. You have to balance these things. Now, you as an individual got to determine your own risk tolerance, adjust your portfolios and your assets accordingly. You can also use our free risk analysis tool on investtalk.com that, you know, kind of gauges your personal risk tolerance, gives you a little bit of insight of who you really are. And so you can take it for free. It's on investtalk.com. You'll see it there on the front page. So do you have questions about measuring risk in your own portfolio right now? We're ready for your money questions. 888-99-CHART. Let's go to the phones and take this question from our 24-hour listener line.
Hey, gentlemen. My name's Dan. I live in Seattle. I had a question for you guys about real estate. I bought a condo 3 years ago for $84,000, and my neighbor just sold his condo, identical unit to ours, for $159,000. And I've been remodeling this for the last 2 years. I'm a carpenter. And I have this, you know, I'm going to put it on the market here. So I got a potential to walk away with, you know, best case scenario, around $70,000, worst case scenario, probably $40,000. And I wanted to know, is there anything that I can do to avoid paying the chunk of taxes on this I'm going to have to do besides investing it into the next property? I have a Roth IRA. I got a 401k at work. But is there anything else I can do with this chunk of money to lessen the tax pain? So any information, any direction you could point me would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
A 1031 exchange, if you want to stay in real estate and buy a bigger property, more rental property or commercial property, you can do what's called a 1031 exchange and then put that higher rate, higher value to work on a bigger property, and you can avoid the capital gains. The only way you can avoid completely capital gains is, as I say, a 1031 exchange on real estate, or have capital losses. For instance, you've had stock losses, capital losses, you can apply that to your capital gain on your real estate. So there's really not a lot else you can do. There's not a lot to keep track of all your, you said you put some improvements in it. So the more capital you spent to improve the property, that is all, can be deducted from the capital gains. In other words, your cost basis would go up, therefore be less profitable. But no, there's not a lot you can do. There's really not, other than those two things that I know of. And I'm not an expert in this area, but that's what I know. James in New York. How are you doing, James?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the call.
I wanted to ask about Dollar Tree, DLTR. I bought it today on the drop, thinking that there might be a bounce after the earnings announcement tomorrow. I'm unclear whether or not I'd like to keep it for the short or long term, but I picked that up earlier today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Dollar Tree, Inc., and it is near a triple bottom, so hopefully you're hoping that it'll hold that triple bottom, and that triple bottom, it's like $75 a share or so. Let's hope it holds. And today it's at $76.68, everybody, down about 3% or so. Operates almost 14,000 discount variety stores in 48 states. They have good numbers. They don't have great numbers because sales recently has been falling, and that's why the stock hasn't done that well. It was 98, back in August, and now here it is 76. So, the sales are still increasing, but smaller numbers. And I will say this, you have some insiders buying on the low prices that it's been hitting. So the insiders think it's undervalued. They have quite a bit of debt, which worries me, but have great cash flow. Profits are going to be up huge this year, up 60% to $379. And then next year, up another 18% to $449. So you can't say it's overly expensive because, that's going to, the PE is going to be around 17, 18. And, the five-year range is 15 to 39. So near the bottom of the range, return on equity is good. I kind of like it because if it happens to break down, James, below the recent lows of the last three recent lows, you can always get out and cut your losses. But it looks like this is a good buy point to me. And, of course, whatever the earnings come out, we don't know what that'll do it. I have a feeling the earnings are not going to be the greatest because that's maybe someone knows something. That's why it sold down today, James. Then remember, do you remember that old saying, James, you buy rumor, sell the news?
Oh, of course, yep.
Yeah, so this is just the opposite. The news, buy the rumor means that it looks like the earnings are going to be down, and the news is going to be the earnings is down. Well, that means the stock will probably pop up because it's already built in. So, yeah, I think that was I think it was a good buy. I do.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. Dollar Tree. DLTR is a symbol, everybody. Dollar Tree. Let's go to Alan, San Francisco. How you doing, Alan?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Oh, good. I listened. I called the other day, actually. But I listened to the radio because I'm looking for ways to invest money.
Okay.
And I wanted to know what you thought. I just heard a show right before your show about investing in notes.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know what you thought.
Notes are really good investments if you know what you're doing. You got to be really careful with them, and because if you're talking about notes are an obligation by somebody else to pay you for something, so you're relying on that person or entity or company to pay you back. like a, it's like a bond. Not, it's not a bond, but it's like a bond. And it depends on what's backing up the note. Is this one, is real estate backing up these notes? Are these second trustees or first?
I believe so, yes.
I'm sorry?
I think so, yes. I'm not sure.
Okay, yeah, if they're first, if they're first trustees, Alan, that means you are first in line, and then you have to be willing to accept the property if the note owner stops paying you and you have to foreclose on them. If it's a second trustee, you're second in line, so the first person in line gets, you know, is much less risky as the first person than it is a second person. A second trustee is higher, much higher risk, and they pay higher rates because of that. So don't get in love with those rates, because the higher the rate, the more risk. The higher the rate, the more risk. Okay?
Okay.
So there's nothing wrong with notes at all, but you know, you got to be kind of knowledgeable, and that's where you need somebody has some expertise somewhere around, and you got to trust them too. And that trust is hard for me. It is hard for me. Thanks, Alan. I appreciate the call. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. If you if you live in around the Bay Area, you can save the date. Save a couple of dates, actually. I'll be in San Jose on the 15th of March and on the 25th of March. We'll tell them more about it tomorrow. 888-99-CHART is our live listener line every weekday from 4 to 5 Pacific time. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Systematic portfolio rebalancing forces the ultimate investor axiom to hold true. That means buy low, sell high. If you rebalance, systematically rebalance your portfolio. Rebalancing is all about risk management. That's one of our main talking points today. I also want to talk about the GDP revision of the fourth quarter. They revised it for the second time, ended it, and we're going to talk about what effect that is. Was it a big revision? Up, down, what? Sideways, what? Want to talk about hedge fund giant cuts fees, and Merrill Lynch cuts its top rate on fee accounts. What's the driver of all that? Why are they doing it? And what do they mean by cutting their fees? Are they cheap? Talk about that. And something a little bit more fun. Millionaires can't seem to flee this European country fast enough. Statistics about millionaires leaving countries, the top four or five countries they're leaving, and the top four or five countries they're going to. Where are they going? If they're leaving these countries, these millionaires, more money you have, the more freedom you have to move around the world, right? So we're going to talk about that. It's very interesting, I think. Do you know what the number one country might be? It's not a tiny country. It's in Europe. Which one do you think they're leaving the most? And the market today, what do you know? We had a down day. The Dow was down 25, the NASDAQ down 36, and the S&P down 6. Was that a first down day for all three indexes in like 10, 12 days? I don't know. It seemed like forever. Down day today. Nothing big deal about it, but it was a down day. Everybody's kind of, you know, have you noticed that the thing that's moving the market is not companies, it's not earnings, it's not sales, it's not economic numbers, it's not, you know, what the consumer's doing. None of that is moving the market. It's all about what Trump says. President Trump says something, and everybody's focused on that. What's really fascinating to me is so far it's all about talk, no action. No, he's promising action, and I'm sure he's going to have some action, but investors are all focused on what he's saying, and they think it's all good news. Is it really going to be all good news? We'll see. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. Let's talk about your money. I like talking about money. Should you invest it? Pay off your house? What should you do with it? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. Let's talk to Jamie in Palo Alto. How are you doing, Jamie?
I'm doing good, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for the call.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about GDX. It's an ETF, and
yep.
I'm trying to diversify my full portfolio.
That's GDX is the gold miners index, right? The ETF? Exchange Traded Fund, seeking performance corresponding to New York Stock Exchange ARCA Gold Miners Index. So it's full of gold miners. And it's a question of, what do you think gold's going to go? Do you think it's going to go higher or lower? Trump wants to talk down the dollar. He said he doesn't want necessarily a strong dollar. But at the same time, he's trying to boost the economy, which kind of pushes a strong dollar higher. So the dollar has peaked. It peaked right at the beginning of the year, right at the end of last year, beginning of this year. And it fell down till about, 2-3 weeks ago? Start to come up a little bit from there. So do you think the reason why I talk about the dollar, Jamie, because the dollar, as it rises or lowers in compared to other currencies, it drives gold prices up or down. That if dollar goes down, gold will go up. If inflation increases, gold will go up. If there's a lot of worry, recession, wars, gold goes up. Those are the three main reasons that gold goes up. Looks like we're having a little bit of inflation coming into the system, but not enough for it to be too worrisome. And Trump did talk down the dollar a little bit. We own gold mining companies. We own several of them, Jamie. And we had for a little over a year now, maybe a year and a half or so. And they've done very well. It's done very well for us so far. I do think if you're going to buy gold, it's a good diversifier, and this would be a good place to buy it, Jamie. So if you're going to buy some GDX, I'd go ahead and do it.
Okay, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm new to the investing, so this is one of the ones I want to put it to diversify my portfolio.
It will do that. It'll definitely do that. Gold usually goes up when the market goes down, but not always. Okay? It's more tied to the dollar. But it's not tied to the market. That's a good thing, and that's what diversification is about. It moves differently than the market generally does moves on its own. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate the call. GDX, everybody, Gold Miners Index. Where do you think gold's going to go? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So, rebalancing is all about risk management. And what that means is that when we talk about rebalancing, we do it once a year or so, basically what you're doing is the winners that had a great year, you're cutting them back. And the losers that didn't have the greatest year, you're buying more of them. Buy low, sell high. That's what you're doing when you're trying to rebalance. Okay? And you do it systematically. You don't just do it every so often. You kind of do it once a year. That's a minimum, once a year. It helps mitigate risk because the higher something goes, the higher it goes, usually the more risky it becomes. Okay? And a rebalanced portfolio outperforms the market when it's oscillating. In other words, it doesn't really outperform the market when the market's going up, which we've had since November. It rebalancing doesn't really help you much. But when the market starts going in two directions, in other words, oscillates up and down, up and down, up and down, that's when rebalancing really shows its mettle. It really shows off, and you can see it when it does that. Okay, so you really need to think about rebalancing. Rebalance is a good thing. You know, it's a difficult subject because most people do not know what I'm talking about when I say rebalance, or what anybody's talking about when they talk, you need to rebalance your portfolio. And it's not just about selling your winners and increasing your losers, because you got to really look at the losers and why are they losing? Why are the winners winning? Are the same conditions going forward exist that produced those winners and losers in the past? So it's not just, just rebalance. You got to do it with, thought. You got to do it with analyzing what is working and what isn't and why. I wish it was easy. It's never easy. This investing game is never easy. People will say it is because the act of buying or selling is pretty simple. But if you want to be consistently growing your portfolio, that's not so simple. Buying a stock that goes up, yeah, everybody does that. Buying a stock that fails, yeah, everybody does that. But being consistently up is much more difficult. much more difficult. And that's what we're talking about when you're rebalancing. You're looking at your portfolio. You're saying, okay, do I have too many of this, too much of this asset class because it's doing too well? Well, is it time to rebalance out of that asset class now because it's done very well? Matter of fact, it's done so well, maybe I should cut back. And most people can't do that. When something they bought does very, very well, they want to keep it. They want to keep it. Because the psychology says, hey, why would you sell your winners? Why would you cut back your winners? It makes no sense. Well, get out of your losers. And there's some truth in that. There is. That's why it's so difficult. We're at the halfway mark of this Tuesday Invest Talk, everybody. Let's hear your money questions. I want to hear them right now. 888-99-CHART.
Invest Talk will continue next, but we have a few seconds for our sponsor here. KPP offers 5 individual investment programs to match up with various life situations, including those invested in their employer's 401k plan. These programs vary in design and, of course, in purpose. They range from very aggressive to those looking for optimum growth to those designed to keep risk at an absolute minimum. And at KPP Financial, you can be assured that they're investing their own money in the same programs. It's called parallel investing, and it's an assurance of their continuous vigilance. So when you're ready to see more about these programs, they're right there, described on investtalk.com. Just click on the Investments tab. Looking ahead to our next Invest Talk, they're driven by a cause like reducing waste. Applying that desire to all investment types, investing for good, passion versus profits. That's one of our topics next time on Invest Talk. We hope you can join us.
Hello, Justin and Steve. This is Jacob from Maryland. I've been listening to the podcast for a few months now, but I had a question on what you thought about ticker symbol DHI, that is D.R. Horton Incorporated. I would love to hear your opinion on it, and I will listen for your answer. Thank you.
Okay, D.R. Horton is a home builder. Builds single-family detached homes for first-time and move-up home buyers in 26 states and 78 U.S. metropolitan markets. It's a $12 billion company, so it's one of the bigger home builders. And the stock fell from $34 or so back in July, August, all the way down to 27-ish in that area. And that's coming up from the bottom made in 2016 when it was at 22.23. And 2015, I was at that bottom again. So why? Interest rates are rising. It's one of the reasons it started to fall. Okay, now we know the interest rates are rising, and the Fed actually increased in December, and that's when the stock started to look a little bit better. I don't know if the rising interest rates are going to be fast enough to really hurt the home builders. I think that if Trump comes through with his promises of lowering taxes, and he comes through with his promises to stimulate the economy by spending more money and reducing paperwork, red tape kind of thing, that home builders will probably benefit. Yes, mortgages are going to go up. But how fast? I don't think they go up that fast. I think there's a fairly inexpensive stock. It's going to make $2.99 next year, and it's a $32 stock. So what is that, 11, 12 PE? And 5-year range is 11 to 36. So this might be a good place to buy it. But don't expect it to explode on the upside. It won't, because there's always going to be that headwind of rising interest rates. And eventually that headwind will hurt them. I just don't know if it will this year. DHI is a symbol, everybody. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Now, I was reading the newspaper, as I do every day, a couple of them. And at the same time, I was on the internet. I was reading some articles there. And two articles on the same subject came up. I said, well, maybe I should talk about that. Merrill Lynch cuts its top rate on fee accounts. Now, I'm a fee manager, too. But here Merrill Lynch said they lowered its top charge on fee-based accounts to 2.5% from 2.7%. 2.7. And yeah, it has to be $1 million or more to get the lower rate of 2.2. Matter of fact, if you get above $5 million, they'll lower it all the way down to 2%. That's expensive, everybody. That's not cheap. That's not, they lowered the rates to this from 2.7 to 2.2. And then in the article I read, hedge fund giant cuts fees. And it was the newspaper. I said, okay, well, what does that, what? I know hedge funds charge a lot of money. That's just typical. But I'm reading this article, and this article is about Paul Tudor Jones. For years, charged the highest fees in the hedge fund industry. And he's cutting his fees for the second time. Now, this is the second time he's cut his fees. This is his low fee now. 1.75% and 20% of the profits his hedge fund makes. He's going to charge you 1.75% and 20% of profit. And that's the second cut in the last 6 months. Now, I went on to read and said, well, why is he cutting the fees? In 2016, this hedge fund made zero. They didn't even make any money. So you know the participants in this hedge fund are not happy. Here they're paying really high fees, even after he cut them. And he's not making any money for them. Not making any money all of 2016. What I find interesting, it looks like the fees that these people are charging on high net worth clients is 2%, around 2% or higher. I think that's quite expensive, everybody. Quite expensive. Now, I will say this. I'm not much lower than this. But they're cutting their fees to higher than I am. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back because I don't think I'm alone in my where I am in my fees. I mean, a lot of my competitors are about the same. So, but it amazes me that these guys, Merrill Lynch and this big hedge fund, they can get away with it. People all day long want to give them money. Fees can cut into your returns over the years. Again, I have some new dates for our Northern California for our individual retirement reviews in March. I'll be in San Jose twice, March 15th and the 25th. 15th and the 25th. Or if you live out of the range of our California offices and you just can't do it, well, we still can do it on the phone via Skype. We can review your accounts and see what you got and give you some help. To reserve your time, just go to investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab. That's with two T's, then portfolio review.
Here's a KPP investment program that may suit you. KPP is excited about Active 401k. This new system can help meet a serious challenge for the average investor, how to make informed choices within the limits of their employer's plan. If you'd like to know more about it, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab, and then look for Active 401k.
Yeah, I just need a recommendation. I'm trying to find a small cap fund through Vanguard. If I can get a recommendation. And my other question is, as an individual stock, Woodward, WWD as a dog, what is your opinion on that stock? Thank you. Bye.
Okay, the answer to your first question is no, I cannot do that. I cannot make recommendations over the air. I can answer questions, but I can't make recommendations. For those people who manage money, like me and my firm, you cannot, the SEC has a rule that says that you must, quote unquote, know your client before you make recommendations. So obviously over the air, I don't know who I'm talking to, and I can't make recommendations on anything because I don't know if it's suitable for them, and I don't know if it's best for them. So I can't do it over the air. But I can answer questions, and therefore you asked about Woodward, WWD. Manufactures energy control systems and components for aircraft and industrial engines and turbines. It's a $4.3 billion company. Sales are growing in the single digits, 0 to 5%, somewhere in that range every quarter for the last three quarters. Before that, they were shrinking a little bit. They're going to make $3.17 this year after making $3 per share last year, and next year they're going to make $3.68. So the earnings are going up. Earnings are going up. Debt's 48%, which is not too terrible. Management owns 6%. the management bought a lot of this stock when it was in its low 40s. And now that it's 70, no manager's buying it anymore. And it's going to make $3.68. It's a $70 stock. So you're talking about a 20 PE or so. And I don't think that's, I think that's kind of expensive. For me, I would not buy this because of that expense, because it doesn't have the growth to support a 20 PE. Return on equity is 16, which is good. Good cash flow. I mean, it's got good numbers. It's a good, solid company. It's just a bit expensive. It's already had a big run up from for the last, what, for this year. And half of last year, it's done nothing but run up. And now it's pricey. So I would not be buying WWD, Woodward Inc. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, so we had GDP numbers for the fourth quarter. Remember, every quarter, GDP numbers come out right after the quarter. That's their first look at the GDP numbers. And for the fourth quarter, in right in the beginning of January, it was 1.9% for the fourth quarter of 2016. The GDP grew 1.9%. And they just revised it, and the revision was nothing. It's still 1.9%. Many people are thinking it's going to be higher, and I did too, because retail sales was higher than they first thought. But at the same time, corporate spending was lower, and imports were higher. Those two things dragged down GDP. So now this is the second revision. There'll be one more revision just as the first number, first quarter number comes out for 2017. They'll revise for the third time the fourth quarter of the year before. And it's probably going to be about the same. So all combined, GDP for 2016, for all, you know, combined for the whole year, 1.6%, which is not very good. Not very good. Our average, meaning the U.S., is 3%, a little over 3%, long-term average. So we have not even approached average hardly at all since this recovery. That's why it doesn't feel like such a very good recovery, because it's not. Just so you know. Now, a couple of interesting parts of this is they upward revised consumer outlays for cars, automobiles. That went up. And the bulk of the increase for consumer retail, for sales, not retail sales, but sales for the revision, the bulk of the revision up in sales and the consumer spending was due to higher health costs and health insurance. I can tell you for sure that my health insurance went up dramatically. Again, it's pretty darn painful. To go up every year like it has been. Anyway, so that's the GDP numbers. I thought was kind of interesting. Retail sales were up, but corporate spending was down and costs were up, imports were up. Offset that. Coming to terms with investing. Here's an investing term you should know. The term is fiduciary. What is a fiduciary? Essentially, a fiduciary is a person or organization that owes to another, you, somebody else, the duties of good faith and trust. Good faith, in other words, they're going to deal with you in good faith and trust in whatever you give them. The highest legal duty of one party to another, fiduciary. It also involves being bound ethically to act in the other person's or other entity's best interest. Not in your own interest, their interest. A fiduciary might be responsible for general well-being, but often it involves finances. Okay, managing the assets of another person or of a group of people. For example, money managers, banks, accountants, executives, board members, corporate officers. They can all be considered fiduciaries. Okay, you can see the definition on investopedia.com. I am a fiduciary to my clients. I am. Okay? Investopedia.com has a lot of really good good information in. It defines all kinds of terms that you might find confusing when I talk about them. Just go to investopedia.com, look them up. Eric San Mateo. How you doing, Eric?
How you doing, Steve? Thank you so much for hosting the show. It's great. Love listening to you on the commute.
Thank you.
So I have a question. I have about $100,000 left on my mortgage for my rental property.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is do I pay off the principal and I get a net every month, say the $2,000 I get from rent, or should I use that $100,000 and invest it in the market and try to make up, I guess, for instance, if I make $2,000 a month, it'd be I would make $24,000 a year. Do I need to make 24% off of the $100K in the market? I was just wondering what you would recommend.
Okay, let me ask you it's all it comes down to, Eric, the best use of the money. What's the best use of this money? So what is your interest rate on your mortgage?
It's pretty low. It's like 2.5%.
Then my idea would be no, not to pay that off. Is it a 30-year fixed?
It is.
Okay, and the reason is maybe I can make more money with that $100,000 than I can. If you paid it off, you know, how much money you would make, you did the math there quickly, would you make the $24,000 and, you know, would that be a total net in your pocket? And if it's 24%, yeah, that's a pretty good use of the money, okay? But my feeling is you get the write-offs of all this against your rent, and you'll lose that particular write-off, you know, paying mortgage. Maybe you should buy another property. Now, San Mateo, $100,000 is not enough to buy another property. We all know that, right? Because they're so expensive up there. But my thinking is be very careful, because the money is so cheap that maybe I don't want to pay off that mortgage. Maybe I want to put that money somewhere else. But the stock market is a lot more risky than property, right? It is.
Yep.
So if you already have a good portfolio of stocks, maybe 401k or something, you know, I kind of would like to sit down and ask all those questions, Eric, and try to get a better picture of your overall situation. And I can answer that better. But part of me says, well, that's too cheap of money. I don't want to pay it off. Then another part of me is, well, but, you know, properties is very low risk, and why not make a lot more money on a property, which is a low-risk investment? You see what I'm saying? It's that yin and yang there.
That's why I was a little torn.
Yeah.
But I appreciate your insight to it.
It's a tough decision. You want to call me at the office, I'll be happy to talk to you more about it in detail, you know, get some more information. How much, for instance, do you have in your 401k and your investment portfolios? Is your wife working or not working? Are you married? Is she participating in 401k? You know, how much assets, how much net worth do you have in that property? You probably have worth probably $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me a call. Talk about 800-557-5461. Call me up. We'll talk about it more if you want. You're listening to Invest Talk. Our last segment of the hour is coming up, but we can still fit your question, 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Harry in Fremont. How you doing, Harry?
Hey, good to see you. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Hey, I have a question about this quote, OPHD. Bought this in the price range around 4.50. And I thought that is, you know, it is in the lower side of the stock, and I thought that's a good buy, but I see another 20% down today. So is it a good idea to hold this or
no?
Get out of it.
Nope, get rid of it. Orthotech Corp, it is a $127 million company, so it's a microcap, so it's very high risk. Is developing therapeutics to treat diseases of the back of the eye, including muscular degeneration. And this is what I call a story stock, Harry, where there's a good story. You know, hey, that's great stuff. They're even, you know, the things are happening, but they had negative results on their phase 3 trial, and they're not making any money. They have never made any money. They're not going to make money next year, this year, next year. They're going to lose money. And so it's a loser. It's not making money. So it's about a story, and the story is not all that good anymore because things aren't working out. This is the kind of stock that you can roll the dice on every so often with a little bit of money, But, you know, this stock has gone from $35 all the way down to $3.58 because it doesn't make any money. And the story has turned sour. Oh. I get out, Harry. Take your losses and move on.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks,
Harry. Appreciate it. OPHT, everybody. And could it go higher? Of course it could, because, you know, there's a lot of people out there say, oh, it looks cheap now. Let me go buy it. Still not making any money. Don't buy companies that don't make money. That's one of my rules. You know that's one of my rules. Buy companies that make money. Don't buy story stocks. Millionaires can't seem to flee this European country fast enough. What country am I talking about? It's France. Last year, 20% increase in people leaving France. 12,000, not people, millionaires. 12,000 from 10,000. What's the next biggest country where millionaires are leaving after France? It's China. It's 9,000. This is all last year. Then Brazil, then India, and then Turkey. Interesting, huh? Now, where are they going? What country do you think they're fleeing from? France, leaving France, but where? What country is the highest increase in millionaires coming into the country? Number one country, Australia. Isn't that interesting? Australia, number one country. It is in 2016, 11,000. A 3,000 increase from the year before. Remember, these are millionaires. What do you think the number two country people, millionaires coming to? Number two country, USA, 10,000. Number three country, Canada. Number four, UAE. And number five, New Zealand. Isn't that interesting? I don't know about you. I find these things interesting. Maybe I'm the only one, but I do find it interesting. Why are they leaving France? Remember, millionaires can be in big, guarded houses. They can protect themselves. France, my assumption is because of the terrorist attacks, maybe. I mean, what else reasons could there be besides that? I mean, what's going on in France besides that? I know they have an election coming up, but, and I know, you know, what else could it be? And why Australia? Not that Australia is a bad country. It's a beautiful country. I'm just wondering, why go to Australia? That's pretty far away. But maybe people in China are going to Australia. The millionaires from China are going to Australia because it's not that far away. Interesting numbers. I think they're interesting numbers. What do you think? Okay, so we had a market that had about 11 straight up days or so for the Dow. Most were up days for the other two indexes. And today, all three indexes fell. Okay, so we finally had a break today. Now, tonight, there's a big speech by Bush to the Congress. And we'll see how the market reacts, because the market's been reacting to whatever he's talking about or thinking about or texting about or whatever he twitters, you know. Not with actually what's happening in the economy or what he's actually doing to do anything to improve the economy, just about what he's saying. So we'll see what happens. Our time is up for the hour. If you'd like to contact me directly with a personal message, just click on Contact Steve on investtalk.com. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. On behalf of Justin Klein, everybody at KPP, thanks for being with us today. And let's plan on doing it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461.
InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.